Take your Bibles and go to Joshua chapter 1 tonight, and we are going to just look at the first 9 verses in this book. I hope that one day the Lord will allow us to go through this whole book. It's such a powerful series of stories, but we're looking at portraits of grace, people in the Word of God who experienced the grace of God in unusual ways. And tonight we're looking at Joshua and the grace that he had to go on. And as I shared with you last week, a verse that I want us to keep going back to through this study is found in Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, where he reminds us that not many wise after the flesh, not many noble, not many mighty are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. In other words, there's often in the scriptures, the true spiritual heroes are often unlikely heroes, people that we would not choose. And we mentioned last week, there's really kind of 3 ingredients or 3 marks of those people, and that is that they have faith in God, that they have faithfulness to God, and that they have fruitfulness for God because of their faithfulness to God. And last week, we looked at who I called Enoch. Somebody said it's Enoch this week, however you want to pronounce it. We looked at his walk with God and his faith and his courage to walk with the Lord and the testimony that he had. And tonight we're going to look at Joshua and see how he was a leader who arose during a difficult time in Israel's history. God gave him a huge and massive assignment, but we are reminded here that when God gives us a large assignment, as he does for many of us, for all of us really, that he also provides the grace to carry out the calling that he has called us to. And we need to know that God has a definite plan for our life. He's going to give us, Brother Jason and Miss Brandy, the grace that we need to carry out those plans. He's going to be with us in the seasons of difficulty in this life. And so we need to determine to have faith, to be obedient to the Lord. And especially we see in Joshua's life in the area of leadership. And tonight's study was going to be on Hannah. I kind of bumped it a week because so many of our ladies were out. And I knew our men, most of our people that were going to be here tonight were men, although we have several ladies here tonight. And so I went ahead and moved to Joshua, and we're going to talk about his leadership tonight. And one thing that you see all throughout the book of Joshua is that God is in control. Very timely for us. God is in control, and it is a book of new beginnings. And so let's look at the first 9 verses together tonight, and then we'll give several principles tonight from this passage. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. By the way, that is a very large, large area, 300,000 square miles. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Great promises here. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. By the way, verse number 9 is an awesome verse for where we are right now as well. Several times in this text, he tells them, be strong and be courageous. Do not be fearful. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Why? Because God is faithful. Because God is with us. The Lord thy God is with thee, with us wherever we go. Imagine that you are a general in the middle of a crucial battle. Your troops are exhausted. Your supplies are low. The enemy is advancing, and doubts are beginning to creep into your mind. Worry is beginning to creep in, and you're tempted to surrender. Sometimes that is the reality of the Christian life. That is the reality of what we go through, because there is a battle in this life between the flesh and the spirit. In this book, Joshua leads the children of Israel to take the promised land, and the promised land is a picture of the victorious Christian life. Some have taught in past that it's a picture of heaven. You know, hymns are even written about that. But it really is a picture of the victorious Christian life, because in the promised land, there was death, there was dying, there was fighting. There was a lot of things there that are not going to be in heaven. So we know it was not a picture of heaven, but it is a picture of the victorious Christian life. And Joshua is a picture of who? Christ, Jesus Christ, who brings us into the promised land, who is our leader, who is our guide. And so while the Spirit of God is calling us to fulfill God's calling upon our lives as wives, as husbands, as dads, as moms, we often don't see a way forward. We even begin to doubt why God even brought us to the place where we are. We feel discouragement in our heart. We have doubt that is making its way into our mind. And so the first chapter of Joshua, this records a pivotal time in Israel's history. Moses, who was their great leader, he is now dead, and a new leader is on the scene. And know this, that God's workmen, they pass from this life, but God's work goes on. His work goes on because his word goes on. And his work is founded in his word, not necessarily a man. We come and we go as men, but God's work continues to go on, and we see that in this story. But the people have a new leader. They aren't sure if Joshua is going to have the blessing of God upon him like Moses did. They're at a crossroads, and they're really not clear what the road ahead is. The next step for them is it's either a step of faith forward, or it is a continual decline in doubt. In the American Revolutionary War in 1776, Washington and 8,000 of their troops were outnumbered by 32,000 British troops, and really they were trapped. There was nowhere for them to go, but surrender for them meant the end of the war. The only hope for them was to escape by a boat across a mile stretch on the East River into Manhattan, and yet it seemed impossible because the British had blocked off that escape. But that night, several things happened, miraculous really, events happened, providentially orchestrated by God. We look back in history and we see that now. There were several things. For one, that night there came a huge storm that arose the first 24 hours. And so the British were not allowed to block the escape route that they had planned to block. The second thing that happened was that during the darkest part of the nights, that somehow during those times the water was calm, and that they were able to load much more men on boats than they had originally planned. And yet in the morning time, they still had men who they had not been able to get onto the boats and to escape. And that morning, early in the morning, a huge fog arises where they're not able to see them. And long story short, Washington and his men, 8,000 men, are able to escape what seemed like an unescapable situation. And the point of that is this, that when all hope was lost, God had a way for them. And we need to remember that tonight, by the way. When humanly speaking, all hope is lost, God can make a way. God can provide a way, and he wants to do that in our life. And the truth is that in the Christian walk, there's going to be times of transition. There's going to be times of confusion. There's going to be times of opposition. There's going to be times of change. What do we do in those times? Because the children of Israel are going through all those things. Their leader, who they had confidence in, who they had followed these many years, he is now off the scene, and now they're having to go through transition, go through confusion and opposition. What do they do in the middle of that? And so we're going to look at three aspects of God's grace that we can remember that will give us the strength to go on for God where God has called us to go. Number one is this: remember God's calling. Remember God's calling upon our life. Listen, God has a calling upon our life. As men, God has called us to lead our families. God has called us to lead our spouses and our children. For many of you, God has given you leadership roles in work and areas of influence. And I want you to understand tonight that it is not just something to take flippantly, that this is something very important because this is God's calling upon our life. The devil is a master at trying to get us to doubt God's calling on our lives. When we were saved, look, God gave us a new purpose. He gave us something new to live for, and that is to glorify him on this earth. And just like God had a specific calling for Joshua's life, he has a calling for our lives as well. And that means this, that Satan is going to be the accuser of the brethren. He is going to bring doubts in our mind. He is going to bring all kinds of distractions into our life to try to get us to doubt the calling of God upon our life. It also means this, that life is going to throw at us curveballs, that there's going to be hardships in this life and trials that are just a part of this life because of the fall of man. And so we have to often remind ourselves of who we are in Christ and that he has a calling upon our life. Every day I pray you get up with this thought on your heart: God has a purpose for my life today. God has a calling upon my life today. God has me where he has me for a specific reason. And so I want us to see three things tonight under this point, and we'll probably just get through the first point. But the first thing is this: there was a difficult time in their life. Look at verse number one. It begins by saying, "Now the death of Moses." This was a difficult time for the Israelites. Moses had been their leader for 40 years, and during that time, God had spoken to him through a burning bush. God had used him to bring the 10 plagues upon the people of Egypt and deliver Israel out of Egypt. And God had given him the 10 commandments. And God had used him, by the way, to write the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. This was a man of God. These were big shoes to fill. And Joshua had to come to a place where he realized that this was the calling of God upon his life. Joshua had seen God use Moses in incredible ways. Look at Exodus 34, 28 and 29. "And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the commandments, or the word of the covenant, the 10 commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him." Joshua had seen God use Moses and communicate with Moses and lead Moses and direct Moses, and he saw what an incredible leader he was. And just imagine stepping into the shoes of somebody like Moses. I feel a little bit of that just by being the pastor of this church and stepping into some very big shoes that for nearly 40 years God used Brother Fred to have a vision for this place, to love people, to share the gospel with people, and for nearly 40 years, faithfully, every week in, week out, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every day when I walk into this place, I'm reminded of that, and I feel the weight of that. But God didn't want Joshua in the Bible, and he didn't want this Joshua, nor does he want you to live in fear or feel intimidated by the past or compare ourselves to former leaders. We have to get up every day, look, and realize this. This is God's calling for my life. Satan wants to put all kinds of thoughts of doubt and deception into our minds and fear. But God wants us to be, he wants us to be grateful for the past. I believe he wants us to honor the past. But he also doesn't want us to live in the past. He's called us to move forward. Joshua knew this. He knew that God had called him to lead the people forward in confident faith in God. And look, whether your past is marked by victory or it is marked by defeat, it doesn't determine our future. God's got a calling for you today. God's got something that he wants you to do. And men, let me say this. If there ever was a time that we needed to rise up and lead our families as men, it is right now. I told our young people in chapel this morning here in the school that they better make serious becoming strong in their faith. And you and I, by the way, who have children, have a very grave responsibility to make sure that our children are strong in their faith. Because I'm going to tell you something, they are going to face some difficult days. And they will not be stronger than you and I are, more than likely. So we as men need to determine, hey, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. We're going to get into church. We're going to serve God. We're going to get into the Word of God. I'm going to lead my family. And I am going to make sure to the best of my ability, with the help of God, that I realize every day that God's calling upon my life is to be the spiritual leader of my home. The truth is that one day we're going to stand before God as men, and we're going to give an account to God for how we led our families. And by the way, how we lead the church as well, how we lead in areas where God has given us. But we have to remember that God has called us. Move forward, look forward. Don't let Satan continue to bring up your past. Whether it be victory or failures, both of them will keep us from moving forward for God. That's why Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, pressing forth, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, forgetting those things which are behind us, reaching forth to those things which are before us." So spiritual leaders move forward despite difficult times. Now we see a difficult time, but secondly, we see a dedicated man in Joshua. God chose a dedicated person to lead the people of Israel. And as we look at Joshua, we learn this lesson that good leaders have typically been faithful followers. And Joshua was a faithful follower for many years of Moses. I'm constantly humbled that God has chosen to use men and women to partner with him in his mission for the world. And don't ever forget this, that God is entirely in control of who he puts in positions and who he removes from positions. Psalm 75, 6 and 7 says this, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge, and he putteth down one, and he setteth up another." And look, God has given us a free will, right? He did that in the Garden of Eden. He gave man a free will to choose. He gives us a free will. He gives us clear instruction in the Word of God. He gives us responsibilities that we need to follow. But make no mistake about it, folks, God is God and we are not him. And he will overrule. He will overrule us. He is in control. He does move how he wants to move to accomplish his eternal plan. And so Joshua had been quietly, unknowingly preparing to be a leader long before Moses' death. He was dedicated to doing the will of God, the Lord's work. Exodus chapter 17 tells us that Joshua had already been used by God to defeat the Amalekites. And when God has a specific plan to be accomplished, he calls believers who are already fighting for him and serving him. You look at scripture, Noah was walking with God when God called him to save his generation. And Joseph was serving as a steward when God called him to save Egypt. And what was Moses doing before God called him? He was a shepherd tending flock for his father-in-law. These were people who were already busy doing things. David was a faithful shepherd boy when God called him. Elisha was plowing a field when God called him. We just studied Saul and Barnabas and how they were working with the church at Antioch, and they were busy serving God. And then God called them. He separated them to go on Paul's first missionary journey. Joshua was already serving God. And so we see here that he was a dedicated man. There was a difficult time. We see his dedication to the Lord. In Numbers chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, you remember the story there where the spies are in Canaan, and Joshua and Caleb are going to spy out the land along with 10 others. You remember the story, 10 were bad and 2 were good. That was Joshua and Caleb. 10 gave a bad report, a negative report. There's giants in the land. We cannot overtake it. Joshua and Caleb said, God's already promised it to us, so we can overtake it because God is with us. And so in Numbers 14, 8, 9, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. So we see in Joshua that true leadership, he's already serving the Lord. He's not the main man. That doesn't keep him from serving the Lord. He's serving in whatever role God gives him. And we see here that true leadership and humble service, they cannot be separated. I love verse number 1. Look at it again. God could have called Joshua the general, because that's what he was, the general of Israel, the general of the army. But what does he call him? Moses is what? Minister, servant. That's how he wanted him to be known. You know why? Because true leaders are servants. They're servants. I love Matthew chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Through this difficult transition in Israel's history, God called a dedicated and a willing man who had faith and who was a servant. The measure of a man's greatness is not how many people serve him, but how many people he serves. That is the true measure. And Jesus himself exemplified that for us when he got down and washed the feet of his disciples. So God equips Joshua, God encourages Joshua, God enables Joshua for the task that he's given him. And then thirdly, we see a directed purpose. A difficult time, a dedicated man, but we see a directed purpose. He says in verse number 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. And then he gives him the purpose. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. God gave Joshua his marching orders. And his marching orders were to take the promised land, which I mentioned before, was supposed to be 300,000 square miles. You know how much they actually took of it? 10%. 30,000 of what was given to them. A tenth of percent. By the way, the areas that they could have taken with that are places like Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, who were eventually taken by other people groups. And before we're too critical of them, I wonder how many of the promises of God that we don't claim on a daily basis. What's the percentage of the promises that God has promised to us that we do not claim? And church, God has given you and I marching orders just like he did Joshua. You probably get tired of me telling them to you, but they're found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 20, where he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And that's why I say that no matter what happens in November, December, January, or whenever it happens, that I will say, our mission is still the same. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us. Our commander in chief is Jesus Christ, and he has given us our marching orders to fulfill, to carry out the Great Commission. I'll just mention the second thing, and we'll close here. Remember God's calling is number one. Number two is this: remember God's provision. Have you ever wondered, how can I do what God wants me to do? I'll be honest, I think of that sometimes as a husband and a dad. You ever put your kids to bed at night and feel the weight of the responsibility and say, how can I do what God's called me to do? Well, we're going to look at that next time when we see that where God calls us, what God calls us to do, he always provides for us to do what he calls us to do. I love this statement. God's calling is his enablement. Faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. If God's called you to it, then he will provide for you to do what he has called us to do through his power, not through our own, but through his power. Father, thank you again for your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help us to take it, to apply it to our hearts and to our lives. And God, that we come to you tonight and asking you, Lord, to help us to remember every day our purpose for living, our calling. Every single person in here has a call upon our life from Almighty God. And Lord, help us to be aware of it. Help us, Lord, to realize that there are difficult times that are going to come. But God, help us to be faithful to you. Help us to realize, Lord, that you've called us, you've chosen us for this task, and that you will provide your power for us to do what you've called us to do. Help us to walk in step with you, not to be ahead of you or behind you. Help us, Lord, to be willing to serve wherever you give us. Lord, we don't have to be in the leadership role. God, give us a heart of a servant. Help us to realize that true leadership is serving and servant leadership. Lord, I pray that that would be the testimony of our heart and of our lives. And that we ask this in Christ's precious name. Amen.